From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, you've got your boy, your main man.
Main man.
Look at here, main man. You know, back in the day, you had main man. That's my main man right there.
I never said that.
No, I know you didn't say that, Dr. Funderburk. You know, you just came out the womb and you just ended up in the 2000s. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Stop it.
Yes, but Dr. Funderburk, you know, today is a really cool day because I like the topic.
Yes, I do too.
Yes, rest. Mm-hmm. And so in light of the topic, I like to give you a theme name.
That's right.
That's right. So my theme name for this week, blah, 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 you can call me Cute.
Cute?
Cute.
Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So
I got you.
Of course, that is short for Cupid.
Cupid. Okay.
That's right.
It's not even Valentine's Day. It's and not, Cupid look, back around.
Back around. So, you know, Dr. Funderburk, earlier in the year, I brought you Cupid.
You did.
But this time, Cupid had to come back around one more time.
Cupid is back again.
Cute.
And why is Cupid back again?
Dr. Funderburk, you know what? I was, you know, this summer of 26, you know, we've had the wedding of the century.
TNT.
And so what we wanted to do, you know, we thought it was a good idea just to talk about before you say I do.
Before you say I do.
No, there's a whole lot of things that go on before you say I do.
There should be. And sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's not. So I think that was a great topic. Because, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking it's not just that there was a big wedding that happened recently in the news. It's not just that. I think it's kind of wedding summer can be wedding season, right?
Yeah.
And so lots of times people are either planning it or they're jumping into it. They might be planning it for the next year or they're planning it for the fall, or they could have done their planning last year. You never know, but I think it's a great topic because so oftentimes I see folks putting so much more planning into the wedding and not planning into the marriage.
Hey, what you talking about? I mean, that's the real thing right there. Because, you know, we get caught up in the whole, you know, the all the engagement parties and all the fun.
The photo shoots these days. Hey, I mean, there are lots of photo shoots for everything these days. And they look beautiful. And you know, they really can suck you in. But it's important to have some conversations.
That's exactly right. Look, Dr. Funderburk, I got a handful of things that I want to just put down some facts that I've researched about.
Okay.
You know, weddings and getting married and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But one of the first things that I learned about, you know, getting married and what have you, before I remember when before I got married, I made sure to ask my father-in-law for my wife's hand.
Now, he did do that, y'all. And I was like, wait a minute.
I know. You know, I'm a little old fashioned, old school.
You are. And I'm a little combo of old and new.
There you go. Man, Dr. Funderburk was like, look, the next time you try to do something like that, you better make sure you tell me first.
I mean, I need to know first. That was my thought, right?
Okay,
it's like, it's concerning my life. Don't go talking to anybody else.
See, Dr. Funderburk, y'all, she just took off her glasses and looked at me. She's like, don't let, you know, these glasses and PhD fool ya.
Stop it.
That's right. But look, if that brother gonna marry Charlotte Funderburk, he better come correct.
And, well, yes, he does need to come correct. I don't know who is that, but I also know that Charlotte is probably a lot like her mother.
Okay, she is 100% like her mama. Man, okay, here we go, Dr. Funderburg. Here we go. So, the average length of preparing for weddings, 18 months.
18 months. I could see that. When you're thinking of a larger, more traditional wedding, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, and so the average cost for a wedding, $36,000.
Man.
Wow, that's right. That's right. $36,000.
And that's average.
This is average. These are all national averages. Of course, there will be some that will be more than some will be less.
Yeah. So I'm thinking there probably, there would be an almost even number. No. Not from the average. That would be if it was the mean median, if that was the median. I don't need Dr. Robinson over there in psychology saying, Dr. Funderburg, I taught you all about this now. That's right. Don't be getting the statistics terms mixed up.
It is. Okay, so let me just run off on these. The average ring cost would be anywhere from $5,200 to $7,300.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so that's not the... You know, one of those kinds you can get at the big box stores, huh? You can't do that with no $5,200. The average honeymoon budget, $6,500.
Average honeymoon budget, $6,500.
So, look, you're not just going down to Shelby, North Carolina.
And there's nothing wrong with Shelby.
Ain't nothing wrong with Shelby. But if you're going to be spending $6,500, either I'm guessing you might get your feet wet or something. I don't know. Two more things. The average vendor allocation, you know, like for the venue.
Oh, venue allocation.
Venue allocation.
Okay.
So that can be anywhere from, for the venue itself, you're going to spend $8,500.
Mm-hmm.
For the catering, it's going to be another $7,000.
Yeah. Usually the venue, the food, and the attire, usually like a wedding gown, that's where the majority of the money goes.
So I can only imagine, though, Dr. Funderburg, you know, for those that might be listening, you know, you might be getting married, or you might be, you know, thinking about doing some type of renewal ceremony or renewal event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe we should do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
Y'all, could y'all hear that? I don't think he wants to renew. Oh, my goodness.
Dr. Funberg, we didn't say that on the air.
Look.
Oh, man. Fellas, when the wife puts you on blast, I tell you every week, the wife trying to put me on blast.
I didn't put him on blast, y'all. I just
wasn't prepared for that.
He wasn't prepared. Nope. But I'm never prepared for your names. Well, so I do get to do something.
Okay. Before you say I do.
Yes.
That's the topic for the week.
Before you say I do.
So, Dr. Funderburg, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the minds of individuals that are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of, you know, they're just, you know, nervous about it. Some of them might be even depressed.
That can happen. Ooh, gosh. What a heavy feeling before a marriage, though. But, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but when we think about why is it that we feel so anxious, though?
Well, I think the emotions come up because for many people, it would be something new. And even for those that it might not be something new. So if they're coming out of another marriage at some point, it's a big life transition. The anxiety is sometimes, can I join with this person? Can I share all of this stuff? But also some of the anxiety is just specifically about the wedding, not even about the marriage. It's about the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, who do I invite? If you have come from a family, if your family of origin is, if your parents were divorced,
right.
You know, sometimes that can cause, you know, quite the stink sometimes because, you know, and especially if one or both of the parents have remarried, it can kind of be like, oh my goodness, who gets to sit where, who gets the priority treatment. And sometimes there are couples who are, they're collegial. That's not the right word. They're just friendly,
right.
towards each other. And that, of course, works best. But a lot of times, you know, the reasons that they divorced are still big deals in their world. And they don't necessarily want to be with the other person or even in the same room, or and definitely not in the same photograph.
Wow.
You know, so sometimes that can be. That can be anxiety provoking for folks.
Wow.
But there are other things that can be anxiety provoking too, but I'll let you kind of jump in first.
Yeah, but you know, and exactly right. So again, for those that are joining, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. The topic today is before you say I do. So let's go back then, Dr. Funderburg. Let's go back to, again, we're going to look even well beyond or before the actual wedding ceremony, what are some of those emotional conversations that we should have with our potential spouse? Are there some specific conversations that relates to their, you know, their potential spouse's emotional well-being and that kind of thing?
Yes, I definitely think so. You know, you definitely want to have that money talk, you know, what, who's bringing in what and how much, and you want to hopefully be able to talk in specifics. Hopefully you can be transparent enough with this person that you're saying you're going to spend the rest of your life with to say, hey, this is what I have at the table. What do you have at the table? And if you can't be that transparent, then that's another area of conversation. Why?
Okay.
Do you feel like you can't be that transparent? Also, you want to talk about kids. You know, do you want to have children? If there are bonus children that are coming into the marriage, you know, you want to have that conversation, because if there's a bonus child, then that means there's another parent somewhere in the picture. And so what's the relationship with that parent? How does that parent see this new person operating in that child's life? Because that person is going to be in that child's life, you know, and then that kind of leans into in-laws as well. You know, what weight do we place on, you know, it's kind of like the parents used to have the priority in your world, right? As you're growing up, parents have priority and authority, so to speak, or not so to speak, your parents do have authority over kids, right?
Right, right.
But when you're going into the marriage, it's like, well, where are they now in the priority treatment?
Go ahead. I can remember, of course, when we got married. You know, it was so interesting because my mom, you know, she's gone on.
Yeah.
She passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But what was interesting, though, on the funny note, man, I can remember when after we got married, you know, it was an adjustment period for my mother.
Yeah.
Because she was used to being, I guess, almost like, I hate to say it, this may sound kind of funny, but almost like my virtual wife.
And that is not uncommon with, especially single moms.
Okay.
That's not uncommon. And your mom was a single mom.
She was a single mom, yeah.
And specifically single moms, and I've seen it happen more with single moms and their sons. Doesn't mean it can't happen with single moms and their wives, or single moms and their sons. Doesn't mean it can't happen with the father and a daughter, or in any other combination. But I've seen it a lot with single moms and their sons, especially if there's one son that maybe it's just been that mom and that son for, you know, the duration. Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't the case for you all. You had a twin brother and who's passed away, and you have an older brother and a younger sister. So you know, you didn't have it quite like that, but
right.
It does kind of happen that way.
Yeah,
sometimes, not every time. Single mamas, don't get mad at me, but right, it does happen sometimes.
It does, you know, and I guess I was, when you were talking earlier about in-laws and that kind of thing, you know, it was an adjustment for my mom, because I had to let mom know, look, Nanette is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she comes first. You know, I can remember, I think we were going, I don't know if I was in the hospital or going to the doctor's office, you know, and I can just remember my mom is like, well, I'm the mother and, you know, yada, yada. And she wanted me to hold her hand or something like that. I'm like, Mom, really? Okay, I'm in this hospital, but before I see anybody else, I want my wife. Man, boy, I tell you, my mom wanted to be the first one there, but bless her heart. Mm-hmm. But let me ask this question or even bring up this discussion, though, because oftentimes when we do come into a marriage and when we're preparing for the big I do, mm-hmm. we got to deal with some stuff that happened years ago, you know, some of our past experiences.
You're exactly right. And before I answer that, I thought of one thing I wanted to say as you were talking. So notice who spoke up for whom in that situation.
Right, right. That's right. Because I had to do that speaking. I had to check mom.
Well, I don't want to say you had to check your mom.
Okay, I know. You know I love my mom and I respect her.
Yes,
but
you know, really
you're
did.
Exactly right, though. It's important that, you know, when it comes to there might be some correction or some type of, you know, let's get a deeper understanding of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That should come from that particular parent's child.
Right. And so I think that is another one of those things that could be an emotional conversation, though, because you and your mother had that relationship where you could talk to her, but everybody doesn't have that type of relationship, or some may even still kind of feel like the little kid around their parent.
Right.
So depending on what type of parent you had. So that could be a sticky area.
It can. It really can. When you look at and bringing in-laws into the relationship, into the marriage,
mm-hmm.
You just want to have a conversation. Again, before you say I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, the level of involvement and how will they participate in a variety of topics, because that's some of those foundational things that really can come up and really can impact the marriage in a very negative way.
It really could. And so you know, sometimes, like I mentioned, some of the big things, the biggies, but there are also things that, you know, might not be a big deal for every relationship out there, but it could be a big deal for your relationship. So the way you start to know if there's something that needs to have to be conversed about is, what are the things that are just kind of nagging you,
right,
in the premarital relationship? The things that, you know, you don't get super upset about, but they kind of just get on your nerves a little bit. And right. You just say, oh, you know, well, whatever. What are those things? Because the things that you just kind of say to now, mm-hmm. after it's happened for years and years and years and years, and possibly now there's a child in the mix or children in the mix, and, you know, maybe one year the money's up and then another year the money's down, and, you know, you're living in maybe a place that you're ready to move out of, and things are just stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And then that little thing that was kind of in the midst of all of that other stress.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be a big, big deal. So just pay attention to the things that are like, you know, kind of.
You know, but I tell you what's really interesting, though, Dr. Funderburk.
Uh-huh.
I often wonder, you know, you see a lot of folks in the office, and one of the big things that people experience, and especially early in life,
mm-hmm.
is sexual trauma.
Yeah.
Or intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question then is,
and it's not everybody, of course, but it's a lot. And I wanted to put that in there because I can hear someone saying, well, I mean, but that ain't everybody's story, but it's a lot of people's
right.
story. And I want to put the stat out there.
Okay, what you got?
One in five girls, mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes, one in five girls and one in six boys. And I think that stat came from the National Institutes of Mental Health. One in five girls, one in six boys will be sexually abused before age 18.
Wow. Okay.
That's a lot of people, y'all.
That's a lot. And that can happen. It can happen in our families. It can happen with our friends. This is the kind of thing that you really want to talk about with your future spouse.
Yeah.
If you've experienced that, because that may impact relationships and intimacy into life. And so
absolutely.
And you really do want to talk about that. You're listening to How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Mm-hmm. Before you say I do.
So back to what you were saying there. Yeah, if there has been specifically sexual trauma, but really any kind of trauma, it absolutely can impact the marriage. And sometimes that person who was violated may or may not have ever told anyone.
Wow.
So, you know, if they've never told anyone, this now becomes a really big deal, because it's like, well, gosh, I've never told anybody. Can I say this to this person that I'm about to marry? And hopefully you can. But even in the best of couples, it's just like words like that are just hard to come out of your mouth sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it feels unbelievable. Go ahead.
You know, so then let me ask this question then. If there is something that is just so deep, and I'm not necessarily saying the intimacy part, it might have been other types of maybe physical abuse. Maybe this particular person had an issue with finances. You know, we mm-hmm. grew up so poor mm-hmm. that, you know, we were homeless, you know, mm-hmm. the family was, or it can be other issues.
It
but
could.
The thing is, though, is how do I address that with my future spouse, though, Doc? You know, mm-hmm. how do I have that conversation? Because right now, internally, I haven't even ever told them. And now we're getting ready to get married in, you know, a month.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, yeah, all of those things that you mentioned can potentially have adverse impacts on a marriage, especially even if they're known, they can have adverse impacts. But definitely if they're not known, simply because it created the core of who the core of your experiences, which starts to create the, I'm looking for my words here.
Right.
It starts to create the type of lens that you will see the world through.
Yeah,
if you, I'll take it over to finances since you mentioned that one. And I think that one is one that everybody feels like they can connect to. So if you grew up, for example, if you grew up poor, or if you grew up without much, or the example you used was maybe we were even homeless at one time.
Right, right.
And that's not Keith. That's just the example he threw out. There might be a way that you would think about money or think about spending that is now going to impact how you spend in the marriage. And potentially I might look at you and say, wait a minute, you don't want to send our child to private school, for example. And you might say, well, yeah, of course not. There are these great public schools out here. Why would we spend all of that money? And that right there is a conversation that could become quite heated if we were both invested in our sides and not taking the ability and being willing to place someone else's needs above our own. We want to at least be able to look at that person's stance. You know, we want to be able to see the conversation from his or her side of, you know, side of the lens, right?
That's right.
So these are things that before you get married, it could absolutely be one of those things that it's like, ah, I can't believe you. You think everybody's got to go to private school? I can't believe that. But once you actually get married and one of the persons in the couple is looking for only private schools, and then the other person is looking at how much money it will cost, and that person comes from a background of being homeless, and they're like, I'm not trying to spend all the money. That can be a lot. That could create a huge rift.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and again, I think about on our and how we got started.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, I'm the spender. I knew, man, I spent money growing up. I mean, I grew up poor.
Mm-hmm.
But yet when I got mature, you know, became an adult, I think I become the spender mm-hmm. in the family. Of course, you're the saver. But we grew up very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's extremely important that you have some of these major conversations
mm-hmm.
before you say I do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, Doc, we only got about a couple more minutes. Man. You know, when we think about, you know, the before the I do and what have you, the wedding preparations, there's just so much that can come into play. How can you, what should, in your closing remarks, what do we need to do?
Another piece that we didn't mention, family culture and family roles. You want to look at the family culture and the roles that show up in the other person's family, but also in your family. Because, you know, for example, we may all be, I mean, Keith and I are both African-American, but I think our families are very different. I don't think either family is better or worse than the other family, but we're different.
Yeah, yeah. And, look, because Dr. Funderburg, my family is loud.
Okay.
They're very loud.
Yeah.
And when we get together on some of those major holidays,
mm-hmm.
oh man, we off the hook. I mean, you know, we dancing, we laughing, we joking with one another.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot mm-hmm. of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when I go to your family's events, Dr. Funderburg, y'all, her family, they so dignified. Now they, I mean, they eat, and you know, my mother can get down on the grill, but I mean, you know, in the oven, but y'all are digging.
Can y'all tell he about to get in trouble? But no, he's right. So we're just quieter than, I think we still have fun, but we're just not quite as boisterous.
Yeah, because I remember when my wife went to our family, you know, the functions.
Uh-huh.
Man, I think, honey, you looked at me like, Keith, I got to go sit in a corner somewhere. I got to unwind from all your people.
And that probably was true just because, you know, I'm naturally an introvert and he's naturally an extrovert. And so I got to do like the good old folk used to say, go somewhere and sit down.
That's right. But you know what? But it takes, to be honest, and again, it's really important that as, you know, you look at your spouse and you involve them in those family events and those kind of things
mm-hmm.
that you find balance. You know, you find ways to communicate and share those experiences either before the marriage and, of course, in the marriage itself.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Funderburg, we got to get up out of here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, we really do appreciate you all being with us today on the show. If you have any comments or questions, make sure that you're messaging us at WNAAFM at NCAT.edu. And we'll see you next time. Maybe we need to continue this one. We'll see you next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburgs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA-FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is a sole property of WNAA-FM-HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA-FM-HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs on 90.1 FM WNAA.